إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so carrying on then with كتاب التوحيد from Sahih al-Bukhari, we've now come to the chapter where Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, رحمه الله تعالى باب قول الله تعالى إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. In this chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari gives the title of the chapter after this particular ayah, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides the sustenance. Dhul Quwwatil Mateen, that he is the one with that power and might and majesty. This is the title of the chapter. قَوْلُهُ بَابُ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. الرزاق صيغة مبالغة من الرزق وهو العطاء، ومنه قوله تعالى فارزقوهم منه أي أعطوهم منه، وجاءت بصيغة المبالغة لأحد وجهين، إما أنها من باب النسبة وأن الرزق وصف لازم لله، وإما للمبالغة الدالة على الكثرة، وذلك لكثرة من يرزقه الله عز وجل ولكثرة رزقه عز وجل. فالرزاق على وزن فعال. Here in the chapter heading, which is the ayah where Allah says He is Ar-Razzaq, in the explanation, Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala explains that the meaning of this Ar-Razzaq, the one who gives the sustenance, the one who provides, it is al-ata, giving, the one who gives and provides the sustenance. And the fact that it is mentioned on the pattern of fa'al, razzaq, then this can have different meanings to it. One of the obvious meanings that is often mentioned, as the Shaykh mentions here, is that the pattern of fa'al, as you see here, ar-razzaq, it indicates something in excess, meaning therefore that Allah is the one who excessively gives and provides the sustenance, and there are many to whom He provides and gives this sustenance to, as well as the amount of that sustenance that He gives out. So all of it is indicating the greatness of this provision and sustenance given. Because in Arabic, that pattern, when you put a word onto the pattern of fa'al, as you see here, ar-razzaq, then it indicates something occurring in excessive amounts. So Allah is ar-razzaq, the one who gives plentifully to His creation, and there are plentiful of them whom He gives to. So He is ar-razzaq. وقوله هو الرزاق هو ضمير فصل يدل على الحصر، فالرزاق بصيغة المبالغة لا تكون إلا لله، أما الرازق أو رزق أو رزق يرزق فتكون لله وللمخلوق. Upon this pattern of saying somebody is الرزاق, indicating that plentiful nature behind it, upon that pattern, it is only attributable to Allah. It is only attributable and mentioned in Allah that He is Ar-Razzaq. Upon that pattern indicating plentifulness. As for the standard pattern, Raziq, the one who gives, the one who provides, upon the standard pattern, that can be used. That can be used for creation. But upon the pattern of indicating greatness in that affair, Ar-Razzaq, that pattern can only be used, and that is only attributable and mentioned to Allah. And in the ayah itself, when it says, Inna Allaha huwa Ar-Razzaq, indeed Allah, He is Ar-Razzaq, indicates restriction to Allah. Yadullu ala al-hasr, indicates restriction to Allah. He is Ar-Razzaq alone. As for generally Raziq, Razaqa yarzuqu, the one who provides, the one who gives, generally yes, applicable to humans. But in that form indicating the plentifulness and the greatness of that giving and sustenance and providing, then upon that it is only Allah. Then qawluhu dhul quwwah, dhu bima'na sahib, wal quwwah hiya al fi'l bila dha'f. Allah is the one who has the quwwah. Quwwah, they may say in the translations, strength. Strength is the ability to do without weakness. هي الفعل بلا ضعف وليست هي القدرة. قوة isn't just قدرة. قدرة meaning ability to do something. Everybody may have ability to do something, but when we talk about Allah having the قوة, then it is that action being done without any weakness attached to it. Without any weakness attached to it. Absolute might and majesty and strength. No weakness attached to it whatsoever. That is Al-Quwwa. Then it mentions Al-Mateen. That Allah is Al-Mateen, Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. Al-Mateen, ay Al-Quwwa, Al-Shadida. That is the great strength. Al-Mateen indicating not just strength, but the great strength. Al-Quwwa, Al-Mateen, Al-Quwwa, Al-Shadida. فَهُوَ ذُو قُوَّةٍ شَدِيدَ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ فَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. So in this ayah, you will notice, this ayah that Imam al-Bukhari has used as his chapter heading, that is the title of his chapter, this ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. That indeed Allah, He is الرَّزَّاق, the one who gives in abundance. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ, the one with that power and strength. الْمَتِينَ, the strong, excessive, great power and might and majesty. Why has Imam al-Bukhari put this ayah here as his chapter heading? Because in this ayah, we find three of the names of Allah within it, and we find four attributes within it. في هذه الآية من أسماء الله ثلاثة. Three names of Allah are mentioned in this one ayah. We spoke before about the names and attributes of Allah, Al-Asma'u wa Sifat. And we mentioned Allah has names and attributes. In this ayah, three of the names of Allah are mentioned. So where are those three names? Inna Allaha huwa ar-Razzaqu dhul quwwatil mateen. Where are the three names of Allah mentioned here? Ar-Razzaq, Al-Mateen, and Allah. Inna Allaha huwa ar-Razzaqu dhul quwwatil mateen. Allah, Ar-Razzaq, and Al-Mateen. They say Allah, the name Allah, is the greatest name of Allah. Why? Because all of the names of Allah, all of the names of Allah, they come back to the name Allah. الأسماء كلها ترجع إلى اسم الله الأعظم Allah. How? Because you say الرزاق is one of the names of Allah. You say المتين is one of the names of Allah. Do you ever say that Allah is one of the names of Ar-Razzaq? Do you ever say Allah is one of the names of Al-Mateen? You don't ever say it that way. Hence the scholars, they said Allah is the greatest name. Whenever you talk about it, you naturally always say Ar-Razzaq is one of the names of Allah. Al-Mateen is one of the names of Allah. But you never say Allah is one of the names of Ar-Razzaq. Rather, everything returns back to Allah. So here three of the names of Allah are mentioned. Allah, Ar-Razzaq, and Al-Mateen. And four attributes are mentioned in this ayah. What are the four sifat? وَفِيهَا مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ أَرْبَعَ. Easy, because we said every name, every ism, lahu sifa. So Allah has the attribute of al-uluhiyya, the worship of Allah, the oneness of Allah in your ibadah to Him, your worship to Him. That is the attribute derived from the name Allah. أَلِهَا يَأْلَهُ مَأْلُوهُ. Allah, يعني المعبود. Then الرزاق, the attribute taken from that, He is الرزاق, the one who provides and sustains, the attribute of رزق, giving and providing that sustenance and provision, the attribute of الرزق. ذو القوة المتين, He is the one with the قوة, the attribute of قوة, the attribute of that قوة, of that strength. ذو القوة المتين. المتين, one of the names of Allah, and that therefore gives you an attribute directly, which is the attribute of المتانة, that strong, that powerful strength, the strong strength, if that is a phrase. So they are the four attributes mentioned here, three of them directly from the three names, because every name has an attribute. And then al-quwwah, an attribute in of itself there. Because there can be attributes that don't necessarily have names. That's why there are more attributes than names. باب الصفات أوسع من باب الأسماء. The issue or the attributes of Allah can be more than the names. Because every name of Allah has definitely an attribute, so there must be therefore upon that exactly at least the same number of attributes as there are names. But sometimes there can be some attributes without names. Therefore there will be more attributes than there are names. Because every name definitely has an attribute, but not every attribute always has a name. Therefore, there are some attributes without names. Therefore, there are more attributes than names. Clear? That is the title heading for this particular chapter. So then, the hadith itself, who's going to read? Go on.
حدثنا عبدان عن أبي حمزة عن الأعمش عن سعيد بن جبير.
الأعمش.
عن سعيد بن جبير عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي عن أبي موسى الأشعري قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحد أصبر على آذن سمعه من
على
آذن سمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم.
النص.
قال حدثنا عبدان عن أبي حمزة عن الأعمش عن سعيد بن جبير عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي عن أبي موسى الأشعري قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحد أصبر على أذى سمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم.
قال حدثنا عبدان عن قال حدثنا عبدان عن أبي حمزة عن الأعمش عن سعيد بن جبير عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي عن أبي موسى العشري قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحد أصبر على أذى سمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم.
So in this hadith now then Al-Imam Al-Bukhari says حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدَان. He is Abdullah ibn Uthman. Abdan, that is his laqab. Abdan, his name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. ثِقَةٌ حَافِظ. ثِقَةٌ حَافِظ. عَنْ أَبِي حَمْزَةٍ. Abu Hamza is Muhammad ibn Maymun al-Mirwazi. ثقة فاضل. أبو حمزة محمد ابن ميمون المروزي ثقة. عن الأعمش. الأعمش who is he? We did it before. سليمان ابن مهران. And he is ثقة لكنه يدلس. سعيد بن جبير الأسدي الكوفي ثقة ثبت فقيه. سعيد بن جبير. You hear this name from the Salaf. سعيد بن جبير from the تابعين. عن أبي عبد الرحمن عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي. He is عبد الله ابن حبيب الكوفي. عبد الله ابن حبيب الكوفي. أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي. له ولأبيه لا لأبيه صحبة لأبيه صحبة. He is ثقة ثبت. عبد الله ابن حبيب أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي ثقة ثبت. عن أبي موسى الأشعري. أبو موسى الأشعري was a companion رضي الله عنه. أبو موسى الأشعري the companion رضي الله عنه. His name was Abu Musa. What's his name? Abdullah ibn Qais. So his name is Abdullah ibn Qais. Famous companion. So that is the chain of narration on this particular hadith. Then he says, عن أبي موسى الأشعري قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أحد أصبر على أذى سمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم. That there is nobody more patient upon the harm that he hears than Allah. They claim that he has a son, yet he gives them good health and he provides for them. Nobody is more patient upon the harm that he hears. They claim that Allah has a son, yet Allah still provides for them and gives them health. This is the narration Al-Imam Al-Bukhari mentions here. And in the explanation, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, مَا أَحَدٌ أَصْبَرُ عَلَىٰ أَذًا سَمِعَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَصْبَرْ عَلَىٰ أَذَىٰ فِي هَذَا وَصْفُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالتَّحَمُّلْ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. In this we see that it is mentioned Allah has patience upon his servants. Allah has patience upon his servants. وَفِيهِ إِثْبَاتُ الْأَذِيَّةِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَتَأَذَّى. لَكِنْ هَلِ الصَّبْرِ صِفَةَ عَيْبٍ أَوْ صِفَةَ كَمَالٍ. لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ صِفَةَ كَمَالٍ. وأن الإنسان يثنى عليه بالصبر والرب عز وجل يثنى عليه بالصبر. So now it mentions that the people they harm. What does the translation say? So the people they direct harmful and annoying words to Allah. Harmful and annoying words to Allah. Words such as that Allah has a son, these are harmful and annoying words that are directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is patient upon His servants, despite His servants transgressing in this manner. And patience, is it a characteristic of perfection? Is it sifat kamal or is it aib? Patience is something good. A person who has patience is praiseworthy upon it. So the fact that this is mentioned for Allah, that Allah is patient upon His servants, that is something praiseworthy, of course. It is praiseworthy characteristic or praiseworthy attribute of Allah. The question here is, the narration says that these harmful words are directed at Allah. Does a person understand from this that Allah is harmed by His servants? Then of course not. مسألة هل التأذي بما يؤذي صفة نقص. Something which is harmful, these words that are harmful and disgusting, being directed at Allah, saying Allah has a son, does that mean that this is deficiency? Are we attributing deficiency to Allah, that He is harmed by these harmful words? الجواب لا ليس صفة نقص لأنه لا يلزم من الأذى الضرر. Just because something harmful is directed at you, it does not necessitate that you will be harmed or feel any harm or pain or anything from it. Something harmful may be directed at you, but it doesn't necessitate that you are harmed. So here the servants of Allah, they direct this harm towards Him, this transgression in speech against Him, claiming that Allah has a son, for example, as the narration says. However, that does not harm Allah. It does not impact upon Allah. Yet from the servants, they are directing from their angle harm to Allah. That is transgression against Allah from them. But that does not impact or harm Allah. So just because there is harm being mentioned, it doesn't necessitate that there is actual harm or impact upon the one whom the harm is directed to. وَلِهَذَا نَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَتَأَذَّى وَلَكِنَّهُ لَا يَتَضَرَّرُ. So we say that this harm is being directed at Allah, but He is not harmed or impacted by this harm being directed upon Him. It mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who direct this harm at Allah and His Messenger, then the curse of Allah be upon them in this world and in the hereafter. The ones who direct harm at Allah and His Messenger. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ الْقُدُسِ يُؤْذِينِ ابْنُ آدَمْ يَسُبُّ الدَّهْرُ وَأَنَا الدَّهْرُ. In the narration it mentions, in the hadith Qudsi, that Allah says, the sons of Adam, they harm me, i.e. they direct harm upon me. By what? By claiming or by abusing and cursing time, the dahr. But I am the dahr, Allah says. The narration which has been explained, when a person curses time, you curse time. يَسُبُّ الدَّهْرُ. A person says, that was a black day. Or what are the phrases they use? That was a dark time, and that was a black day. When they give these phrases indicating their disgruntlement at a period of time. That was a terrible week, and that was a terrible day, and I had such a horrible time. you're cursing and abusing time. But in the narration it says, Allah says, "Wa ana ad-dahr," I am the time. Meaning, your abuse of time doesn't really have any meaning to it. It is not time that has caused what occurred. What has occurred has been caused by the decree of Allah. So your curse of time in reality isn't curse of time. Time doesn't do anything. Your curse really and your feeling really is against the decree of Allah. Why did this happen to me? So that is in effect, your curse and your ill feeling is being directed at the decree of Allah, which is from Allah. So in reality, your harm is going there, not to the time. What has the time done? The time doesn't do it. So the point being there, the point for our purposes here, it mentions Yu'dhin ibn Adam, that the sons of Adam, they direct this harm upon me by cursing time.
لَكِنَّهُ قَالَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Do not let those who are hastening upon kufr grieve you. Do not let them grieve you, meaning the ones who are harming you, the ones who are upon kufr, the ones who are directing this opposition and harm to you. Do not let them grieve you. Innahum lan yadurru Allah shay'a. They will never be able to actually do any harm to Allah. They direct this harm against you, they transgress against you, but that will never translate into any actual harm upon Allah. They can never do that. So this must be understood when we say that the sons of Adam, they harm Allah, meaning they direct that harm and that transgression to Allah, but it's not something that actually harms Allah actually and has an impact upon Allah in that way at all. In the narration also, in the Hadith Qudsi, it says, يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. Oh my servants, Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, oh my servants, you will never get to a level, you will never get anywhere to a level where you can harm me, and you will never get to any type of level where you can benefit me. The actions of the servants, your worship that you do, it is for you. It is your accountability. No matter where you go, you will not harm Allah. No matter where you reach, you will not benefit Allah. And that's why it says in that same narration that the control is not in your hands. You cannot do what you think you can do. In the narration it says, وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. If all of the people got together to do something good for you in creation, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, they would not be able to do any good for you, or لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They would not be able to do any good for you except what Allah has decreed for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if all of the people got together to do some harm to you, they would not be able to unless it is something Allah has decreed upon you. So the servants can never reach any level where they will harm Allah, nor any level where they will benefit Allah. And that's why it says in the narrations also, if all of the mankind, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك مما عندي شيء. That if all of the people, from the jinn and the humans, were upon the most evil heart of an individual, everyone in creation was upon corruption, that would not, Allah says, decrease from my kingdom, from my dominion, anything. Would not decrease from me anything. If all of the creation, from the beginning to the end, it says, لو أن أولكم وآخركم, from the beginning, from Adam alayhi salam, all of the humans, the jinn who came even before the humans, all of the jinn, everyone was upon corruption. Allah says it wouldn't harm me or decrease anything from me. And the same for the opposite. لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم. If all of the people and the jinn, the humans, everyone
beginning to end were upon righteousness, مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا عِنْدِي شَيْءٍ, that would not increase the kingdom of Allah in any way. So, here the point to make is therefore that this harm, it does not mean that Allah is harmed, but it simply means that the humans and the people, they direct this harm. They transgress against Allah. One of their transgressions, in fact, the Shaykh gives an example to highlight that further, where harm could be present, harm could be directed at you, but you're not actually harmed. He gives a simple example, says, if you walk into a room where there's a nasty smell in the room, you walk into a room and there's a bad smell in the room, that is harm. But a bad smell, is a bad smell going to do anything to you? Are you going to fall down and collapse and go unconscious? A bad smell is a bad smell, but it doesn't do anything to you. So the Shaykh says, that is harm, that's an example, there's harm there. There is harm there. Harm is present and coming to you. However, that doesn't impact or affect or harm you in reality. A bad smell is a bad smell, but it doesn't do anything to you. So the Shaykh says, that is an example to highlight it. الْأَذَى لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى ضَعْفِ الْمُتَأَذِّي فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ قَدْ يَتَأَذَّى بِالرَّائِحَ الْكَرِيهَةِ وَلَكِنَّهَا لَا تَضُرُّهُ وَلَا يَدُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى ضَعْفِ بَلْ قَدْ يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِهِ إِذَا تَأَذَّى بِمَا يُؤْذِي حَقِيقَةً. To the extent, it may even indicate the perfection of an individual, that harm which has been directed at him, and you recognize that as harm. So a bad smell, somebody puts down a bad smell, or himself arrives in a bad smell, then it is from perfection you recognize this to be a bad smell. If you recognize that to be something good, that indicates deficiency in you. What's wrong with you? So you recognize that to be something bad, indicates your perfection in the face of that harm. So one of these examples, قوله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم, يعني أنهم يقولون إن لله ولدا كما قالت اليهود عزير بن الله وقالت النصارى المسيح بن الله وقال المشركون. Just like some of the people, they claimed that Allah has a son. The Jews, they said, Uzair is the son of Allah. Some of the Jews, they claimed, Uzair is the son of Allah. The Christians, they claimed, Isa is the son of Allah. The mushrikun, the other mushrikun, not the Jews and the Christians, the other mushrikun generally, they claimed Allah has offspring too. They said what? The Jews, some of them said Uzair, the Christians said Isa, the mushrikun generally said the angels. وقال المشركون الملائكة بنات الله. They said the angels are the daughters of Allah. They said the angels are the daughters of Allah. And this is indeed transgression. Transgression in the fact that they have determined the angels to be female, and that is false. The angels are not women. They said to Sheikh bin Baz, Rahimahullah, they said to him, Sheikh, sometimes in our countries, to the nurses in the hospitals, the mumarridat, to the nurses, sometimes they say, you know, in English you do it as well, when they say, you're an angel. Somebody does something really good, they do something really good, and you say, you're an angel. Somebody said to Sheikh bin Baz this question, Sheikh, the nurses in the hospitals, nurses, the women, when they do a good job and they're really helping everybody, they're helping the sick people, then people may say to them, you're an angel. Sheikh bin Baz, he said, this is completely false. Wrong. One, because the angels are not women. So how are you saying to the nurses, the female nurses, you're angels? How are you using this phrase, you're an angel, to a woman when the angels are not women in the first place? And secondly, on top of that, it is not suitable, of course, to be calling the creation angels. But the point there was to make that the angels, we do not characterize them as females. That's why when it comes to the names of the angels, Mikael and Jibreel and all the names of the angels, is it permissible to name your children with the names of the angels? Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil. Is it allowed? So for the females, like we said, women, you cannot name daughters with the names of the angels. The angels are not female in the first place. That's haram. Boys, if you have a boy, are you allowed to name him with the names of the angels? Jibreel or Israfil or Mikael. And you know, in some of the places where they don't understand anything, no Arabic, nothing, you hear the stories. You know what I'm going to say? Maybe they even say Malak al-Maut. They don't know. They don't know. You know, there are places I heard stories, Allahu A'lam. I heard stories in some places, Allahu A'lam, but they said they are so upon such jahl, they don't understand nothing. They say Quran, you know, the Quran. So when they have a new child, they say Quran, let's look at the Quran for the name. So they look and they look and they look and akhalas, Iblis, Iblis. They don't understand. Allahu A'lam, I heard this story. That they say, Quran, Quran, ya Shaykh, Iblis, Quran. So they name their children Iblis, maybe. Allahu A'lam. But from what you hear the stories about it, and there used to be some names, mashallah. When we were in the University of Medina, the Jami' al-Islamiyah, when they used to come from the different countries, some of the names they used to have. Now that we're studying Bukhari, there used to be a brother. This is not a joke. I'm certain now. This is not Allahu A'lam. This is I heard with my ears. There used to be a brother, his name was Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. His name. On his Jawaz al-Safar, everything, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. That's his name. There used to be another one, his name was Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. His name, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. MashaAllah. So they used to have names. There used to be names, MashaAllah. But here the point was with the females, you cannot name it with the angels. The males, there is difference of opinion. Some scholars generally say, you cannot. One opinion of some of the scholars is haram. You cannot use the names of the angels for the people. Second opinion, some scholars say it is makruh. They say it is something disliked. You shouldn't do it, but if you did it, it's doable. If you did it, you've done it, but you shouldn't have done it. Other scholars, they say, you need to look at the name itself. Because there are some names of angels which some of the companions used to have, and the Prophet ﷺ never changed their name, indicating that there are certain names of angels which are genuinely shared between humans and angels. They are known to be shared between humans and angels. The name like Malik. Malik is a name of an angel, but it is also clearly the name of people. And there were many people in the Salaf, in the Tabi'een, in the Sahaba with the name Malik. And the Prophet ﷺ never changed that or said anything. So there are certain names that are clearly shared, clearly known to be used by humans, used at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and nothing was said. Those ones, no problem, like Malik. But others where that does not exist, like the names Jibreel and the names Mikael and Israfil, etc. Those ones, many of the scholars, they say it's makruh, better left alone. Because it was not something done by the Sahaba, it was not something recognized in the Salaf. So better left alone. So here then, يَدَّعُونَ لَهُ الْوَلَدْ ثُمَّ يُعَافِيهِمْ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ. So the mushrikeen, they said, the angels are the daughters of Allah. وَقَالَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ الْمَلَائِكَ بَنَاتُ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ يُعَافِيهِمْ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ. هَذِهِ نَتِيجَةُ الصَّبْرِ أَنَّهُ يُعَافِيهِمْ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ مع أنهم يدعون له الولد ودعوى الولد لله عز وجل تتضمن شيئين. Despite the fact that these people transgressed to this level, claiming that Allah has offspring, claiming that He has sons, claiming that He has daughters, despite all of that, from the patience of Allah upon them, He still gives them health, still gives them sustenance and provisions. And the fact that they are proclaiming offspring to Allah, this has two points to mention regarding it. الشيء الأول
تكذيب الله عز وجل فإن الله تعالى نفى أن يكون له ولد بل نزه نفسه عن ذلك.
Firstly, it is lying upon Allah, belying what Allah has told us. Allah has told us clearly He does not have any partners or children, offspring, nothing. You now come along and claim Allah has offspring, then you have belied what Allah has taught us. You have lied against what Allah has informed us of.
Allah mentioned in the Quran, سُبْحَانَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ,
that Allah is far removed, free of this deficiency, of this deficiency and shortcoming of having children or offspring. Allah is not in need of that and is free of that. Subhanahu, Subhanallah, they translate it in English as glory be to Allah. And that is not sufficient. Glory be to Allah, what does it mean? It means that Allah is high and free of any type of deficiency and shortcoming. That is glory be to Allah. That Allah is the supreme, the mighty and majestic, free of any deficiency. So that's why it says, نَزَّهَ نَفْسَهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ.
الشَّيْءُ الثَّانِي وَصْفُ اللَّهِ بِالنَّقْصِ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الْوَلَدِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ نَاقِصًا.
To claim that Allah has offspring, you are claiming deficiency to Allah. Because the one who needs offspring or has offspring, it indicates a need of that person to his offspring.
فَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الْوَلَدِ لِيُعِينَهُ فِي مُهِمَّاتِهِ وَلِيَبْقَى نَسْلُهُ بَعْدَهِ.
So a person needs his offspring to aid him. When he becomes old in age, then his offspring will help him. And a person is in need of offspring for his lineage to remain and go on. As they say, for his name to carry on. You need offspring. Your offspring doesn't exist. Your name ends there. So for your name to continue, your lineage to continue, you require, you need offspring. And that's why throughout history, the kings always need their sons and their daughters and their offsprings as the heirs to their thrones. They are in need of that. Without that, the throne passes over to somebody else. So this indicates a deficiency. It's a deficiency. You are in need of that offspring for these reasons. So that is something which cannot be attributed to Allah.
The Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَاتَ بِلَا نَسْلٍ نُصِيَ وَلَمْ يَأْتِ لَهُ ذِكْرٍ اللهم إلا من علم أو صدقة جارية أو ما أشبه ذلك.
So if a person dies and he doesn't have any offspring, then he will be forgotten. He will be forgotten. If you have offspring, you're remembered. They say to you, you're the son of such, your grandfather was such and such. He's remembered through that offspring. Your grandfather, yes, he used to be this man and that man. Your great-grandfather used to be this and that. But that person didn't have any offspring, he's forgotten. How are they going to remember him from where? Maybe some reasons outside of it, but otherwise generally, without any offspring, that person is eventually forgotten and lost. So it's a deficiency needing a child and offspring. So now by attributing to Allah a child, you are attributing deficiency to Allah. As well as the fact that Allah mentioned very clearly in the Quran that he doesn't have any partners and he doesn't have any offspring. The proof? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say that Allah is one. Allahu samad. As-samad, one of the explanations of that, the one who all of the creation are in poverty before. That all of the creation, our needs go to him. Allahu samad. لَمْ يَلِدْ, neither did he beget, nor was he begotten. Neither did he give birth, nor was he given birth to. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is no partner or equal to him. So Allah tells us clearly in the Quran, yet they attribute this deficiency to him. إذن الشاهد من هذا الحديث قوله يعافيهم ويرزقهم، يعافيهم في أبدانهم من الأمراض، ويعافيهم في أعراضهم من أن تنتهك، ويرزقهم أيضا مع العافية رزقا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all of this transgression of theirs, still gives them good health, gives them food and sustenance and provisions. Allah gives them all of that despite all of this transgression of theirs. ففي هذا الحديث من الصفات إثبات صفة الصبر لله. So in this narration, one of the affirmations of attributes is the affirmation of the attribute of patience to Allah. لقوله ما أحد أصبر على أذى سمعه من الله. Nobody is more patient and forbearing upon transgression and harm that is heard to him except Allah. The Shaykh says then, هل هو حقيقي? When we talk about the sabr of Allah, صفات الصبر, هل هو حقيقي? الجواب نعم حقيقي, لكنه لا يشبه صبر المخلوق, لأن المخلوق قد يصبر لكن مع تضجر وتملل, وأما الرب عز وجل فلا, لا يلحقه من صبره شيء كما يلحق المخلوق من صبره. When we talk about the patience of Allah, do we say it is actual patience? Or is it a metaphor or a simile for something? When we say that Allah is patient upon His servants, is that an actual patience? Or is it metaphoric? Is it a simile or a metaphor or something of those lines? Or is it real patience? Real patience. It is not metaphoric or a simile or anything of that. It is real patience. However, it is not patience as we are patient, because we never compare Allah to us. So we say Allah is patient, reality of patience. But the patience of Allah is not resemblant to our patience in any way. We may be patient, but our patience comes with it feelings and emotions. A person may be patient upon another, but in his heart he's burning. In his heart he's burning, but he knows he needs to be patient, he remains patient. So now, that type of patience, okay, he's done it, but in his heart there's something there. He may be angered, but he remains patient with the anger in his heart. He may be saddened and grieving in his heart, but he remains patient. So we as humans have all types of emotions that may go with this patience, how we demonstrate patience. We don't make comparison or resemblance to Allah with this patience of ours. We do not say Allah is patient like we are patient. We said that, remember, before. We do not make resemblance or comparison between Allah and us. So whenever we talk about the attributes of Allah, then it is not to say that they are like ours. We say Allah is patient, it doesn't mean Allah is patient like we are patient. Different. But Allah is patient upon His servants. وفيه من الفوائد إثبات أن الله يرزق ويعافي لقوله يعافيهم ويرزقهم. We also learn from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives good health and sustenance and provisions to His servants. In that narration it says, كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمت فاستطعموني أطعمكم. All of you are hungry, except for the ones I feed. So seek your sustenance from me, and I will give it to you. كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم. All of you are naked except the ones I clothe. So seek your clothing from me, and I will provide. In the narration about when the angel comes and blows the soul into the child in the womb of his mother. فَيُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ وَيَكْتُبُ أَرْبَعَ كَلِمَاتِ. The four things that the angel writes, one of them is the rizq of that person during his lifetime. What will be the rizq? that is apportioned to you for your lifetime. And that is why the scholars, they say, you have nothing to worry about. You strive and take the means. Al-akh bil-asbab. You take the means for your rizq. And after that, you have nothing to worry about. You have a business. You take the means, you run your business, you bring the stock, you sell, you do what you do with your business. Suddenly another person comes and sets up an identical business next to you. Same goods, same stock, same business as you next door on the same street. You have nothing to worry about. You take the means necessary, you strive, you get the stock, you get the good stock, you give good customer service, you do your business, you have nothing to worry about your rizq being stolen. Your rizq will not be stolen. Your sustenance, what has been apportioned for you, will come to you. Your rizq will not be stolen by anybody. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the rizq to the people. Can we question the mas'ala? هَلْ نَشْتَقُّ مِنْ يَرْزُقُهُ إِسْمًا? So in the narrations, it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them sustenance. Here, يَرْزُقُهُمْ. He gives them sustenance. Can we derive from that a name? So we say that his name is Raziq. Upon that, no. But what we do know, obviously, as we said in the ayah, is that the name is Razzaq. لا لكن جاء الاسم إن الله هو الرزاق. هل نشتق من يعافيهم? That Allah gives them the good health, etc. Can we derive a name from that? يعافيهم, can we say Allah is المعافي? He is the one who gives that good health. The Shaykh says لا. وَلِهَذَا لَا يُسَمَّ اللَّهُ بِالْمُعَافِي لَكِنْ يُخْبَرْ عَنْهُ بِأَنَّهُ يُعَافِي مِنَ الْأَمْرَاضِ الْقَلْبِيَّةِ وَالْبَدَنِيَّةِ. Just like in the hadith, وَاشْفِي أَنْتَ الشَّافِي لَا شَفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ. So we don't say one of the names of Allah is Al-Mu'afi, derived directly from that verb, يُعَافِي. And this is when you go into the principles of names and attributes of Allah. Not everything which is mentioned about Allah, you can derive a name directly from it. We briefly spoke about that before. Because certain things may not be perfection in goodness. There may be elements that are not perfection. And other reasons. So you can't always just derive a name from every characteristic you see. So he, Allah, يُعَافِيهِمْ. Here it is one of those cases where you do not derive the name Al-Mu'afi. But we do say in an informative sense that Allah is the one who gives that good health from illnesses, etc. to the people. Allah does that. We do say that in an informative sense. يُخْبَرْ عَنْهُ. But we don't make a name from it. And that you need to go more into the details of names and attributes and the rules to understand where and how that works. But here the Shaykh says that does not occur. It is not one of the names of Allah, Al-Mu'afi. The next hadith is long. What do you want to do? The options are, we start and we carry on for about 15 minutes till 9:30, but we won't finish it. It'll be halfway. Carry on with it next week. Or we don't start and we just start it fresh next week. Questions. Do some questions. We'll start the hadith next week then. Start the next narration next week. So today, just the one narration, إن الله, well, the title of the chapter, إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. And the hadith, ما أحد أصبر على أذى سمعه من الله سمعه من الله يدعون له الولد ثم يعافيهم ويرزقهم. There is nobody who is more patient upon transgression or harm that is hurt to him other than Allah. They claim that he has a child, a son, yet he still gives them the good health and he provides for them and sustains them. From this we've learnt about some of the names and attributes of Allah, and that is the purpose of these chapters. These chapters here are talking about the names and attributes of Allah. So there again you've learnt a little bit about the names and attributes of Allah. And next time we'll carry on with the next hadith, which is under the chapter heading, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ and وَأَنْزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِهِ and وَمَا تَحْمِلُ مِنْ أُنْثَى وَلَا تَضَعُ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ and إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. It's going to be talking about the knowledge of the unseen. The chapter talking about the knowledge of the unseen. There are certain things which are from the unseen to us. We have no knowledge of them. This next chapter will tell us about some of those affairs of the unseen. So we'll begin with that next week after the prayer. For now, if there are any questions we're able to take, we can try and do some of those before rounding off. Can you? Of course. Can you ask Allah for patience? Patience, like we just said now, is a praiseworthy characteristic. The fact that you ask Allah for praiseworthy characteristics is praiseworthy. It is good that you ask Allah for these praiseworthy characteristics. And there are narrations where the Prophet ﷺ used to ask for praiseworthy characteristics. Examples? You could mention it as an example. Rabbi Zidni Ilma, the ayah in the Quran, Allah tells you to seek for this characteristic of knowledge, a praiseworthy characteristic. In other narrations, it talks about when the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge from cowardice. Seeking refuge from cowardice, a dispraiseworthy characteristic. So asking Allah to make you from the patient and give you patience, that is a good thing to ask for. Can you name your child one of the names of Allah? When you name somebody, what is the best names? The names, well, from the best of all of them, two. Abdullah and Abdurrahman. Those two are mentioned as the best names. Then after that, all of the other names which start with Abd. Like Abdul Salam and Abdul Rahim, Abdul Hakim, all of the Abd names. They are the best then after that. Then after them, generally after all of the Abd names as a category, all of the companions' names. Before the companions' names, all of the prophets' names. After all of the Abd names, as a general category, next, they say all of the prophets and messengers' names. Then after that, as a general category, all of the companions' names. Then after that, as a category, all of the righteous names with good meanings to them. Righteous names with righteous good meanings to them. So any name that has a good meaning to it, even if it's not one of the names of the companions, not one of the names of the prophets, but it's a name which has a good meaning to it, a pleasant meaning to it, it's allowed. As long as it is not imitating the names of the kuffar. As long as you are not imitating the names of the kuffar. So you can have any of those names, but the names of Allah, you cannot have them. Certain names you cannot have at all. Certain names of Allah you cannot have at all. Regardless of whether you take off the Al or not. If you take off the Al, some of the names can work. Like the name Hakim, for example. But you can't say Al Hakim like that, just or Al such and such, Al such and such. Then it's not correct. But removing the Al and just saying Hakim, that's possible. Possible to use the names like that.
Is it forbidden to use
It is forbidden to use names that imitate the kuffar. It is. Nowadays the people, they want to have elaborate names. They want to have elaborate names. Names that have not been seen anywhere else. Names that nobody else has ever heard. Unique. Need to be unique. So they go and pick out all types of names from all types of languages. Turkish and this and that. All types. Yes, if that name is not an imitation of the types of names the kuffar they use, and the meaning of it, even if it's in that other language, is a pleasant meaning, no problem, it can be used. But it is preferable that you use the names of the Sahaba, the companions, for the women as well. For the women, you can use the names of the female companions. The names of the female companions are good names to use. Instead of nowadays, the names the people they use sometimes, Suzanne, and all of these kinds of names people have, it's not really suitable. You know, it's a clear imitation of those types of names.
You know, let's say, listen, you pray a mosque, you're behind the imam, and you catch one rakah. Once the imam misses to sleep, then I go for two rakah. And you know, the first rakah, you recite out loud. Let's say there's someone else on your right as well. He recites out loud as well. So, let's say the people have two rakah for men, do they all recite out loud or two?
Leading is going to be problematic. If people have come up now, you're late. All of you are the latecomers. For the latecomers to then make a jama'ah after they stand up, I'm not sure of any evidence to do that kind of thing.
I mean, you caught more than the imam.
No, you're right. I understand. So there's a few latecomers.
Yeah.
A few latecomers, they caught the maghrib later on in the prayer, so they missed some raka'at. After the imam finishes, they get up. They've only caught one raka'ah, so they need to read their second raka'ah loud. So now you're saying, should they all just combine and one of them leads?
I mean, like, them reciting out loud the first raka'ah. Unless they have a brother on my right, and like, all reciting the fatah out loud. They're all praying.
Because you're now all praying your second raka'ah of Maghrib.
Yeah.
You only caught one raka'ah.
Yeah.
So the ruling is you should read out loud. But what's the alternative you're saying? One of you read out loud and the rest follow? Yeah, it's out loud, but it doesn't necessitate out loud that it's out loud like the imam. You're reading to the audible level that you can hear. But the scholars do say, you know, if there is interruption and disturbance, then it's not a necessity. It doesn't invalidate your prayer. There's no invalidation of the prayer if you read Maghrib quietly. And there's even difference of opinion. Imagine now you missed the Maghrib prayer altogether. You came in and they finished. When you pray by yourself, do you have to pray it out loud or quiet? It's not a necessity out loud. There are statements of the scholars, you can pray it quiet. It doesn't invalidate your prayer if you didn't do that part loud. It's not a rukun of the prayer to have to read it out loud. So it's not a necessity. The scholars say if there's going to be disturbance and problems, then you can do it quieter. But even when you do it out loud, it doesn't necessitate you read out loud like the imam. Everybody just reads to a level where it's audible to themselves, and that's not a problem. Then even if there's a few there.
How about names like, you know, Iman, Huda?
So names that have a good meaning you should have, but names that have a self-tazkiyah, self-recommendation and self-promotion in some degree, the scholars generally mention that you shouldn't use those types of names. But it's different about which names can be considered as self-recommendation and which ones not. The name Iman, some of the scholars, they say, this is tazkiyah for yourself, so don't use it. Iman, I'm a person full of Iman. So they say this is praise for yourself, self-recommendation for yourself. So names that have self-recommendation, the scholars say avoid. But then which names are considered as self-recommendation or not, that's another debate then.
And also, Abdul Muttalib.
Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib. Who was? The who?
The companion.
The grandfather. The grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ was called Abdul Muttalib. Why was he called Abdul Muttalib? Why?
His uncle, when he brought him back from the king, he got burnt by his son and the fight by a slave. His name is Muttalib. Yeah. Muttalib brought him back.
So Muttalib was the uncle of Abdul Muttalib, whose name was actually Shayba, or Shaybatul Hamd, as they say. His uncle was called Muttalib. When he brought him and the nephew Shaybah, Abdul Muttalib, he was all disheveled. They thought he is a slave boy of Muttalib. So they said he is the slave of Muttalib, in Arabic, Abdul Muttalib. So he became known as that with that name. Al-Muttalib isn't one of the names that you can use Abd with. So that is not a name that is permissible now. Don't get confused thinking Abdul Muttalib, that this is one of the names you can use. That is not a name that you can use, Abdul Muttalib. Even now the scholars, they say, okay, why do you call him Abdul Muttalib then? In the books of Sirah, everybody, the ulama, they say Abdul Muttalib. Why? Why not say Shaybah? Because now they say this is just يعني من باب الإخبار. This is what is known. If now Alim comes and he starts saying Shaybah, 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 nobody, who's Shaybah? Who is he? Now you have to say it just because that is what is widespread. This is what has become known. You are only saying it for the purpose of identification, not for the purpose of legitimizing the name Abdul Muttalib. Now it is a necessity for identification. Nobody knows Shaybah. You say Shaybah, who's Shaybah? Last question, go on. Oh, go on.
What if you enter Islam, but you don't want to change your name, and your name doesn't oppose anything, it doesn't imitate anything?
So somebody who enters into Islam, somebody becomes a Muslim, so obviously prior to that they had a name that wasn't a Muslim name. Technically, that name doesn't oppose any Islamic meaning. It itself doesn't have any bad meaning. Technically, maybe it's possible to keep it. However, one problem is always going to be there. One problem which you're not going to be able to avoid. Whatever that person is, whatever culture he came from, a non-Muslim culture, he became a Muslim, then his name is always going to be representative and an imitation of his non-Muslim culture he came from. That's always going to be there. So that's why the scholars, they say, it is better to change it. Because otherwise, even if the name isn't bad and the meaning isn't bad, there's nothing of an issue with the name, really. But it's something that is a name representative of your non-Muslim culture. Maybe, for example, some African names. They have certain names that, in their languages, they mean something, and it's not anything that opposes anything else. Often it won't be known to anybody else. The types of names and the dialects that are there. But that name, when you hear it, you will instantly think and remember of the original African culture, for example, where they came from, which was the non-Muslim community and culture. So that always attaches you to that. Hence, it is better to change it to a Muslim name, a more beautiful name than what you had. And on the books and documents and things, rarely do people change it anyway. But at least as your identity amongst the community, you have a beautiful Muslim name. Even if your passport and everything still says what it says. There used to be a brother in our class, Italian. And his name was Christian. His name was Christian, you know the name, Christian. Nasrani, Christian. So he was in the class, in the masters. And so the teacher came, he was doing the register. On the register, his name comes Christian. So he said, you know, giving all the names, Abd, blah, blah, blah. He comes Christian. So he says, Na'am, Hadar. He says, Christian? Your name is Christian Nasrani? He says, no, change your name. The student said, but Sheikh, you know, the passport and the government is so difficult. Change your name takes month, 2 months and paper and you know, the signatures and everything and all problems. The Sheikh said, even if there are problems, for this name, Christian, you have to change it. Even if it takes you 1 year, change your passport, do it. How can you keep the name Nasrani, Christian? So for those ones, it's obvious, you got to do it. Even on the paperwork and things. But where there's no real problem, it's possible to keep it. But if you weigh it up, then no doubt, the answer will be it is preferable and more suitable to have a more beautiful Muslim name, one that attaches you to that Islam rather than your old name that still keeps you attached to your old culture. We'll leave it at that. Conclude upon that point, inshallah, carry on next week after Isha. For those staying afterwards now, we'll carry on in a couple of minutes. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين